Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of United We Fall. In our last program, the Muslim young lady Cynthia has introduced to us the last speaker, who is Imam Omar Suleiman. And as we heard, the crowd was so excited to be there because they love him so much, and so does the rest of the Muslim world. As she mentioned in her introduction, that Imam Omar Suleiman is one of the most well-known and admired Muslim leaders in America. And as I shared with you on our last program, I investigated him the best I know by looking at many of his teachings, his sermons online, and I could not find anything wrong about him. That's why, as I shared with you on our last program, I believe he was groomed for this specific job which he is doing in America, to deceive the American people, not only the liberals among the Christians, but even the conservatives, like the Southern Baptist Church itself. As a matter of fact, if I play some of his teaching to you, you may think you're listening to some Southern Baptist minister or some good conservative evangelical minister. You will not know that the man is a Muslim and he's preaching sermons to the Muslims. He is a very crafty and slick Muslim imam. That is the greatest level of deception, which most American people will not understand. Yes, he is the founder of the Yaqeen Institution, which means the Certain Institute. When you join that institution, you know for sure you are on the right track, the track of Islam, not in Judaism nor in Christianity. One of the important things that Yaqeen Institute is doing is to research the false notion that underlying Muslim bigotry and extremism. Excuse me, what? Are you trying to tell me that Islam does not teach bigotry towards women, Jews, Christians, and all non-Muslims? Are you trying to tell me that there is no extremism in Islam? If that's true, that means we have to get rid of literally half of the Quran and half of the sayings and the teachings of Muhammad in the Hadith, which are the foundation of the MSA, the Muslim Student Association, as this young Muslim lady, Cynthia, told us already in her introduction concerning what MSA stands for. They follow the Quran, they follow the teaching of Muhammad and the Sunnah of Muhammad, which teaches nothing but bigotry and extremism against non-Muslims. We know that we have a controversial problem with some of the conservatives when Nancy Pelosi asks Imam Omar Suleiman to come and say the prayer in the Congress. And when you hear his prayer in the Congress, once again, you may think you are listening to a Christian minister praying the Christian prayers. And here is what he said in his prayer.
The prayer will be offered by the guest chaplain, Imam Omar Suleiman, from the Yaqeen Institute for Islamic Research in Irving, Texas.
Let us pray. In the name of God, the most compassionate, the most merciful, our sustainer, our guide, ever-present, never unaware, infinitely able, your servants in your loving care. Guide us to pure convictions, then inspire in us the courage to match those convictions. We pray for peace, not war, love, not hate, benevolence, not greed, unity, not division. And we commit ourselves to not betraying our prayers with actions that contradict them. Let us be for truth, no matter who or for is against it, and justice, no matter who or for it is against, and hope, no matter what obstacles lie ahead. Let us not be deterred by the hatred that has claimed the lives of innocent worshipers across the world, but emboldened by the love that gathered them together to remember you and gathered us together to remember them. Let us not be overcome by the darkness of evil, nor the slumber of indifference that turns human beings into hashtags and neighbors into enemies. Let us be the light that we seek from you. Guide the deliberations of our members of Congress to just decisions, and guide our nation to the abode of reconciliation. May we honor one another, glorify you together, and inspire the world to be better. Amen.
Now, let us analyze the prayer of Imam Omar Suleiman to see, is this really how Muslims pray? He said, let us pray. In the name of God, the most compassionate and merciful. I'm sorry. Allah is not God, and Imam Suleiman should not pray in the name of God, but he should pray in the name of Allah. And as you investigate the Quran, Quran chapter 9, which is the final revelation Muhammad received from his God, Allah, Allah is no longer compassionate or merciful. Yes, we read the word Allah, the compassionate, the merciful, in 113 chapters in the Quran. But in the final chapter, that is chapter 9, Allah did not insert that statement, in the name of Allah, the merciful, at the beginning of that chapter, because Allah is no longer a merciful. So that is just the beginning of his prayer. Yes, God is our sustainer. Yes, God is the one who guides us. Yes, God is ever present. Yes, God never unaware. Yes, God infinitely able. But that's not the description of Allah. I do not see this in the teaching of the Quran concerning Allah. For example, when he said Allah is never unaware. Wait a minute. Throughout the Quran, Allah uses the word, perhaps we have done study in the past and I wrote some articles on it in the past, Allah, the God of perhaps. And if Allah used the word perhaps all over the Quran, that means he's not all-knowing. Now we ask the question, does Allah have loving care for his people? What people? The American people? Of course not. Allah only loves those who engage in battle for his cause, as it is written in the Quran. That is chapter 61, verse 4. You see, here is a problem. When you get a Muslim imam to pray for the Congress, and most of those who attended his prayer do not know anything about Allah, and they do not know the difference between Allah and God, they may assume that we are worshiping the same God, therefore his prayer is acceptable. I'm sorry. We should never allow any Muslim imam or any Muslim human to pray in our Congress because he's praying to Allah, Satan, not to our God, and he's confusing the American people by making them believe that Muslims worshiping the same God. After all, Imam Omar Suleiman put all these wonderful words together and make us believe that he is praying and worshiping our God. Let's continue a little bit more with Imam Omar Suleiman's prayer. As he said, guide us to pure convictions. What pure convictions? How can Allah, Satan, guide anyone to pure convictions? And then he said, that inspire in us the courage to match those convictions. My friends, if you do a quick study of Allah, the God of Muhammad, as he describes himself in the Quran, for sure you will know that Allah is Satan, and there is no truth in such words which Imam Omar is using here in his prayer. He said, we pray for peace. Wait a minute. Allah in Quran chapter 47 and verse 35, he said, do not call for peace when you have the upper hand. So how in the world Imam Omar is asking Allah to guide us into peace? Then Imam Suleiman said, guide us to love, not hate. Where can we find that in the Quran? Because as I shared before, I repeat again, Islam is a savage cult. It teaches nothing but hate towards non-Muslims. As you see that throughout the Quran. 5:51, do not take the Jews and Christians for friends. 5:9:29, engage in war with the Jews and the Christians. 5:72 and 5:73, Allah calls all Christians infidels. Quran 47:4, Allah orders the Muslim believers to behead the Christian people, the infidels. And I can go on and on and on with many of the violent, hateful verses of Allah in the Quran. Also, the teaching of Muhammad match that which is written in the Quran concerning Allah. As Muhammad Muhammad once again said, do not initiate the peace to the Jews and the Christians. And Muhammad orders the Muslim believers to engage in war with the Jews and the Christians until they say the Shahada, until they say there is no God except Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and until they pay the zakat and perform the prayers. Go and read Quran chapter 9 verse 5. So I'm sorry, this prayer of Imam Omar Suleiman has nothing to do with Islam, even though it sounds good, especially when you know the man who is praying it. He is not a preacher from some Christian church, but he is a Muslim imam who belongs to the Muslim Jihadi MSA, Muslim Student Association, as he is here speaking on their behalf in this dialogue with Pastor J.D. Greer.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that, upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straightwave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
Let's continue a little bit more with Imam Omar Suleiman's prayer. He said, guide us to benevolence, not greed. Excuse me, where can we find that in the Quran? Where can we find that in the teaching of Islam? This is a good Baptist prayer, but not a Muslim imam prayer. He said, guide us to unity, not division. And that is the major important part of our study here. It is the unity between Muslims and Christians in America, which will bring the fall of the church and the fall of America. I don't want to have this unity. My Bible, my God said, separate from them. My God and my Bible does not want me to have any unity with non-Christian believers, especially the Muslims, whom according to the letter of John chapter 2 to be the Antichrist. Those are the ones whom the scripture commands us not to greet them with peace, but we must be separated from them. What unity or relationship could we have between light and darkness? But here in America, Imam Omar Suleiman and the rest of the Muslims would love to deceive us, to make us believe that we are one and we can be united. And believe me, this will lead to nothing but the destruction of our existence. Imam Omar Suleiman continued to say in his prayer, we commit ourselves not to betraying our prayers with actions that contradict them. Well, I'm sorry, that prayer which Imam Omar is praying once again has nothing to do with Islam. And the true teacher of Islam 100% betrays every word he uttered in his prayer. Imam Omar Suleiman continued to pray, let us be for truth no matter who or for is against it. Really? That goes against the teaching of Muhammad? For the Muslim must stand up with his Muslim brother against every infidel, Christian, and Jew. Even if his brother is guilty, a Muslim must acquit any guilty Muslim if his crime was against an infidel. Imam Omar continued to say in his prayer, and hope no matter what obstacles lies ahead. And once again, there is no hope in Islam. How can Muslims pray about hope when there is no hope in Islam? As we know that Muslims have no hope or assurance for their eternity. What hope Muslims have if they know for sure that when they die, they will go to hell? Yes, indeed. That's what Allah, and that is exactly what Muhammad assured the Muslim people, that when they die, they will go to hell, unless they die while performing jihad for the sake of Allah. That is when they receive the hope of the eternal paradise with the 72 forever version and all the pleasures which Allah himself forbade for Muslims while on earth. Imam Sulaiman continued his prayer by saying, "Let us not be deterred by the hatred that has claimed the lives of innocent worshippers across the world, but emboldened by the love that gathered them together to remember you and gathered us together to remember them." Excuse me, what? What love have to do with Muslim worshippers? These Muslim worshippers, as we're going to be seeing in our next broadcast, when they pray the curses of Allah on America. That is by cursing the Jews and the Christians. What does love have to do with Muslims gathering in any place to worship? What about the Christians who are worshiping in the 57 Muslim countries and the Muslim neighboring there burning their churches while they are in the building praying to Jesus Christ? What does love have to do with Islam? Imam Omar Sulaiman continued to say, "Let us not be overcome by the darkness of evil, nor the slumber of indifference that turns human beings into hashtags and neighbors into enemies." The darkness and the evil is the teachings of Islam. It is the commands of Allah in the Quran and the commands of Muhammad in the Hadith. How can a Muslim pray to live in the opposite of what they ought to do? There is no neighbors in the Muslim world unless they are Muslims. And in reality, as we have seen it in the last 1400 years, Muslims are enemies of Muslims. There are more Muslims in planet Earth in the last 1400 years who were killed by their neighboring Muslims than all those who died in all the wars historically. For the Shiites believe that the Sunni are their enemies, and the opposite is true, and that hatred exists throughout the history of Islam. Trust me, my friends, this unity you see among Muslims in America, the Shia and the Sunni, is simply a fabricated unity. When the right time comes, even here in America, you will see Muslims killing each other as it is in the Muslim world, as they will also do the same to the Christians and the Jews. Islam is nothing but a cult which is filled with hatred, even Muslims to Muslims. Imam Sulaiman continued to pray, "Let us be the light that we seek from you." Excuse me? Do Muslims seek light from Allah? This is not an Islamic prayer. Jesus is the one who taught us to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the world. I'm sorry, I do not know what book Imam Omar Sulaiman is using to make up this prayer. Perhaps he opened the wrong book. He was using the Bible to write his prayer, not the Quran. Nothing in the Quran where we see that Muslims are light. Then he continued to say, "Guide the deliberations of our members of Congress to just decisions and guide our nation to the abode of reconciliation." And once again, this is a prayer to be given by a Christian or maybe even a Jewish rabbi, not a Muslim imam. Imam Omar Sulaiman ended his prayer by saying, "May we honor one another." Excuse me, one another? That statement, one another, is all over the Bible, but not anywhere in the Quran. There is no honor one another or love one another. As he also said here, "Glorify you together." Not once in my life I ever heard a Muslim imam in the Muslim world using the word glorify God. That is Christian language. That is what Christians say in their prayers, not Muslim imams, and inspire the world to be better. How in the world Islam can make the world better? Because as we know, the destruction of the world, especially in the last 50 years or so, has been well practiced by Muslim believers like Imam Omar Sleeman, once again, as I said earlier, pretending in America to be that loving, peaceful Muslim imam because he is hand-picked for such time as this to deceive, sadly, not only our congressmen and women, but even our Christian ministers, the liberals and the conservatives, as we will be seeing in our study. Imam Omar Sleeman ended his prayer with the famous word, Amen. And man, oh man, I can tell you, Nancy Pelosi and all the liberals enjoyed having Imam Sleeman end his prayer. And if you notice in his prayer, he was hinting to speak against Mr. Trump, the one who is dividing us, the one who's making enemies with our neighbors, those who would love to come from the southern border with the drugs and with human trafficking. That was the agenda. Why Imam Omar Sleeman was praying these specific words. And that's why I believe Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, had chosen him to deliver such a prayer because he is a man with boldness and with charisma can deliver his smooth prayer. First, to portray Islam to be just like Christianity, as Muslims pray just like Christians. And second, to attack Mr. Trump in every decision he has made in his presidency. In our next broadcast, we will be looking at some Muslim prayers. I'm talking about real Muslim prayers to see and to learn and to expose the hogwash prayer of Imam Omar Sleeman, and in the same time to learn exactly how Muslims pray all over the Muslim world, the true Muslim prayers, and to continue our study of United We Fall. Please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.